what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and also the Banter Blender. And joining me, as always, is the wonderful and slim and handsome Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com.
Hi.
Hi, Ronnie. And also joining us is the beautiful and lovely and always effervescent Angie Thomas.
Angie.
From Small Potatoes.
Hi, everybody.
And Lion's Lair Podcast. If you love Empire, you better listen to that podcast. Listen to it right now. Turn off this one. So if you're hearing a lot of background noise, that's because we are recording right from the heart of the Glendale Galleria Mall in Glendale, California.
We're sitting right between a Chipotle and a hot dog on a stick.
That is not, it's not even a joke. We are an arm's length away from a bunch of lemons at the hot dog on a stick.
We know that this can be unpro to do it like this, but we don't give a shit. Because being in the mall is amazing because we can talk about these shows and also the idiots surrounding us in the food court.
Yeah. And I am very fired up. The reason why I'm fired up is not because of anything on Bravo. It's because we just went to Chipotle and we're currently eating Chipotle. And nothing can get you more angry than being in line at a Chipotle and watching people making their choices. The woman in front of me was like, can I try the sofrito?
No, the woman
in front of me, okay, we're waiting in this long line. We get up there, and the lady's like, okay, that'll be 10, whatever. And she opens her purse. I'm like, why wasn't your wallet in your hand already?
I know.
Like, congratulations on your stay-at-home status, bitch. I do not have that. Move along.
The woman in front of me was like, oh, you know what? Can I get some cilantro rice on that after all? But just a little bit, just a little bit. He's like, no, too much, too much. And he puts on, like, basically, like, if you drink, like, a fork of rice and put it on. She's like, that's perfect. And meanwhile, the woman in front of her was like, she also changed her mind. She decides she wants chips and salsa. And then she wants mild salsa, not the medium one. And it's like, I was so mad in such a small amount of time.
The lady behind me was like, okay, y'all have some cheese. Y'all have the sour cream. Yeah, I'll have the guacamole. She goes, whoa, that's enough for two meals. So I was like, bitch, please. You know you're going to be hiding in the stall this in the bathroom been, down yeah. in that yeah. shit. Get over it.
This has been the plan for like 30 minutes. This has been the plan every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. People know exactly what they get.
And the best is there's like a sign up there today that says, sorry, no carnitas today. And so I heard Wolm go, oh, so there's no carnitas.
That was her.
Oh, yeah. She's like,
yeah, of course you want the pork.
All right. I guess... So there's for real, there's no carnitas? No, but they put up the sign for fun.
Oh, it's you. Oh, we haven't.
I'm here every day. That's not something to brag about, okay?
Exactly.
Anyway. This is what happens when you get the mall episode.
Yeah, there's so many people to judge. I don't even know how we're going to talk about a TV show.
We are
I hope they can hear us. It seems so crazy loud in here.
They can hear us. I can see us. That's it. They can
hear
us. So, we are literally next to a hot dog on a stick, and there's plenty to talk about, but we only have Angie for about 20 more minutes. So we need to jump in and talk about Dr. Phil. And oh yeah, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens, and support us on Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens, and subscribe and get bonus episodes and things like that. Real fun. So anyway...
Wow!
And listen to the For Crying Out Loud podcast because we are on the next two episodes. Super fun with those women.
That was so fun. So we talked about Kim on Dr. Phil for a while on that.
But we're going to talk about it now some more. We're going to go even more in depth. Okay. So I thought this hour of Dr. Phil was like sublime. I thought it was so... deeply satisfying and entertaining. What did you guys think?
And you know that was rare for him too, because the other episodes that week are like, my husband's a tranny, and then, now what was the other one? It was like, my husband's banging my sister or
just
something.
Like, whoa. Yeah.
He scored.
My husband broke the lawnmower, and now I want to get the truth. But what I loved was, the episode was all of like 30 seconds old, and Dr. Phil was already going in on Kim. He's like, I've been sitting here ready for the interview, and she's in her room getting her hair done and caring about her appearance.
In her hair.
It was like, Kim, don't you know the last thing you want to do is get on Dr. Phil's bad side? You don't want to be making him wait. The very first thing is she makes him wait. I was like, oh, you are in trouble, Kim Richards.
And also, she's just, it was so uncomfortable because it was just like those everything that had, like, everything you expect an addict to do, like, she did. Like, just stalling and all those excuses.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she
has a story lined up.
Yeah, I mean, starting off on the wrong foot. Like, what else, what does she have to do?
I also thought it was very interesting that she chose to wear a ballroom dancing outfit to the interview.
Wait, I thought she was wearing...
Did you notice she was wearing this thing with, like, this black in the middle, big red sleeves? I was, like, expecting her to go after the mirror ball trophy.
Well, oh, it's like God. She didn't... She knew she was there because of her drunken outburst, but she thought she was there for a celebrity interview, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one is going to ask you questions about your four lines on revenge, okay, bitch? This is all about, like, snorting coke in the bathroom or whatever.
Right. And then the way
she's like, hi, thanks for having me. It's so good to be here.
Well, I also love that the way that she opened up the interview.
Came up with some little jokes for us to talk about first.
Well, but the best is that she opens up the interview by saying, I'm a very strong person, as she's, like, half crying. You really said that with a lot of conviction, Kim. That's a real the sign of strength. Like, I'm a really strong person. So stupid.
And Kim still, unfortunately, has that, like, she's an addict, but she also has that horrible, like, L.A. entitlement thing.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, I'm a VIP. Like, you know. And even just when she's talking about the hotel, like, well, I've been going there since I was...
It's a safe place.
A safe place.
It's a safe place. And she's like, my mom's been bringing me here, and we've been in that same booth a lot since I was six. And so when I saw people saying mean things on Twitter, I went there. And he went to a bar.
He went to a bar. It's like, well, we sat at a table in a bar. Then we got it, but this was safe in a bar.
Yeah.
In a bar. She's like, yes.
But, you know, I believe that her mother did take her there every day at six years old in the bar, hooking up with men and shit. It's not like...
It's probably like every time a guy walks into the bar, Kathleen probably pulled out a little stereo, was like, play. And then Kim gets out there, does a little jig. She's like, da-da-da-da-da, with a little bow in her hair.
It's like, witch my fun, witch my
fun. She probably had one of those things where it's like, yes, sir, if you pay, like... I'm selling you a rose. They like give her a dollar. She gives them a rose, but attach her strings. They walk away. She pulls the rose back.
Oh yeah.
Like in an old Charlie Chaplin movie.
If you give me half of your empire, I'll give you my mother's vagina. Yeah. So her background is actually very sad, and my biggest opinion of watching Kim Richards on Dr. Phil was that it was really sad. I guess I've always had like a bit of sadness, but. Kim's mostly fun to talk about because she's in denial and stuff like that. So to see her being like, I mean, in her mind, I'm sure, attacked or like confronted.
Yeah.
And just watching her break down and her veins popping out all over, I just felt bad.
I actually, believe it or not, you know, I actually did not feel bad and I did not feel sad. I thought it was, this may sound mean, I thought it was highly entertaining. but more so, I thought it was like, it felt good to finally have someone calling her on her shit. Because, you know, she starts the interview with this sort of, like, false accountability, right? She's like, well, what I have to do is I have to exercise more. I have to get on a program.
Yeah, it's like, are you going to do something about this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I need help. I need to go to a meeting and start going.
She thought this was
going to
be a PR thing. She thought she was going to be able to do her mea culpa.
What is wrong with her?
And Dr. Phil would not have any of it. She, well, first she starts talking about, like, how, you know, the show is just really hard and the fans are so hard on
which
me.
Which is all true.
Yeah, and but actually, also, like, she's also blaming everyone.
No, she is, but I was, when she was saying that stuff, she was saying, like, oh, you know, people say I'm drunk, people say I'm a bad mutt. And I was like, yeah, like, no addict should be going and reading that stuff.
No, I mean, I do, you know? Believe it is hard.
Yeah, yeah.
But, again, it's like, her, that's the place where she goes first instead of saying, well, I struggle with this or that. She blames outwardly first.
Oh,
you know?
Of course. Yeah.
Instead of just saying, you know, work was really stressful this year and it broke me down. And like, I just got so stressed out and I can't cope. And that's what I do. I turn to drinking.
Right.
But there wouldn't have been a whole hour if she had just you know, there wouldn't be any Kim Richards drunken storyline if she could just do that. It's like she's just in the stage where she can't admit it. And I don't know. The best part to me was just watching Dr. Phil. I mean, that guy is hysterical.
He just goes
and... I had 2 inches of vodka.
Yeah. What do you say? In a paint can?
Yeah, out of a gallon paint can.
Yeah.
Did you have that out of one of those dumpsters that apartment buildings use? Because there's so much garbage that they need a giant square instead of a little tiny cup? I mean, what the hell, Kim?
Was that out of a water fountain in the middle of Rome? I mean, how big was that bucket? But the best was that, like... The story is like, you can't see it on the podcast, but like her fingers were like this, then this, the bigger and bigger. She's like, it was just this, it was just this.
So I was trying to figure out, so she went to see her daughter, and then they weren't drinking with her, right?
No.
No. She said, didn't she say she went out of town somewhere to see her
she
daughter?
She went to see the one that I think is Mauricio's daughter.
She said she's in La Jolla.
La Jolla, yeah. Then she drank there and then drove all the way back to the Polo Lounge. It's like an hour and a half drive.
I mean, there were holes in her story. There were holes in her story, and Dr. Phil did a really good job of poking holes.
Yeah.
And all of that. He was like, Well, first, before any of that happened, because we're getting ahead of ourselves, because there's a lot of stuff that even happened before she starts on those stories.
I would just like to give a mall update really quick. We've been here now for 45 minutes. No one, and I mean no one, is cute. I mean, come on, America.
Yeah.
Let's make an effort, all right?
Yeah, and the men lining up for hot dog on a stick have not exactly been top tier specimens.
There must be a really popular cholo in the valley, because that's the look we're going for today, girl.
Yeah.
I mean, even people with jobs are like, I'm gonna mark her on some eyebrows.
Well, the odds are stacked against us just by inherently being in Glendale.
Yeah. Glendale is like the Toledo of LA.
I don't even know what that means. Because I've never been.
There's
to
a lot
Toledo.
Of hair. This is probably the hairiest
also,
neighborhood.
I would like to thank people over the hill. I mean, not old people, but like, there's a hill you have to go over to get here. So I'd like to thank people on this side of the hill for being fat, because I usually have to go to Texas to get this, okay?
Yeah.
I actually don't feel out of place.
You're
I
not
feel
fat.
Lovely.
Ronnie is so skinny now. Looking
I'm
good.
I'm thinner, darling. But, you know, it's a roller coaster. And I appreciate these people being on, you know, on the bottom of it.
You should do like in a sub dish. And just me and you should just come over here. I can be Whoopi and you can be
Sally
Field.
No one will recognize me. I have to be famous for that to work.
You are.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, it's fine.
Shocker. There's a hot person. Oh, wait, they're on the TV.
Oh, yeah. I was like, do you see I crane my neck around? I'm like, what?
We all turned around.
As if it was like some like boat taking us to safety. Like, we're here.
Now leasing to ugly people only, please.
Yeah.
Equal opportunity leasers.
By the way, for those of you who want to get some context on this mall, this is the mall that's down the highway from where Eileen had her film festival. Put down the highway.
Yep.
So back to this special. So Kim is saying, people are saying mean things about her. So then she tells Dr. Phil, she's like, I was so tired of being talked about. So my question is, if you're tired of being talked about, so you get drunk and then make a scene and get arrested and kick a police officer, as if no one's going to talk about that.
Well, even that story, she was trying to make herself such the victim. It was hilarious. She's like, well, I had 2 inches because Twitter. I mean, God. You know, I had bird shit all over me. And I got in the car and went to Polo Lounge because it's, you know, my mom's dead. It's like, okay, victim. And then these people called me over. And
he's like, did you drink?
No, the bar wasn't even open. He's like, then what were you doing? What were you doing there? I was just talking to my booth. My mom's dead. And I talked to these people, and he's like, "Did they invite you over?" I don't know. I don't remember. Who were they? I don't know.
Like, Kim.
I know. I love when she's like, "So I was talking to them, and a maitre d' told me to go back to where I was." And Dr. Phil's like, "So you're at a bar, and a maitre d' came over, and you did something enough." A bar where people socialize, where people meet new people and they talk to each other. And you did something so egregious that the maitre d' had to come over and tell you to go back.
I remember that part.
Listen, the maitre d' was like, listen, your safe place is over there and I can see you're not feeling safe. So please go to your safe place, that way you can feel better about yourself. It was really nice of him.
I think that's like what I keep going back to is, this entitled thing. Like, she keeps saying, like, it's sort of like this thing, like, well, you know, I belong there, and like this person was trying to make me feel as if I didn't belong. Like, it was this very much this thing of like, this is like Beverly Hills. This is where I go. This is where
it's like,
you know,
my living room. If I want to call some guy, my uncle, and ride his lap for a while, I can do that.
And she's right. And it's just like, and how dare someone actually call me out? Right. When I was just sitting there.
Yeah,
do you
she's
know
like,
what I mean?
And then the police came, so I went to the bathroom, and they started knocking on the door.
And he's like, well, yeah, because you wouldn't come out.
That's just God taking some time.
And he said, well, why did you kick the officer? And she said,
I didn't like how they were treating me.
Yeah.
I'm nervous.
No one likes how the police treatment.
Yeah.
You know,
she's like, she's scared. She's so scared that she kicked. I mean, there were so many crazy things she said. Also, even before she was telling the story, you know, Dr. Phil was asking her about, like, if she's been sober or whatever. And she says, I have not drunk once this season on camera.
I heard that, too.
I was like, oh, on camera.
Yeah.
Because this is before
she was drunk.
This is before she revealed on the show that she had a few drinks. So the fact that she was like, well, just not on camera, as if somehow then it's like, it's okay because my on-camera persona is sober, so therefore...
Oh, that poor thing could not remember her life at all. She was like, well, I haven't had a drink. I had one drink.
I mean, I haven't had a drink for 3.5 years. I mean, I maintained my sobriety. Well, yeah, I mean, one time I drank, and then another time.
What is the point? Do they pay? Because, you know, do they pay her?
I don't... Well, some of them do. But I don't think it was for money. I think it's because it was such a public relations nightmare for her that her kids were probably like, Mom, you have to do something.
What kind of publicist? You know he's going to ream you. I mean...
Well, she's at the point where no one can handle her. Like, the whole crew of Beverly Hills can't even deal with her. They
say
she's drunk all
the
time.
Because it was an intervention. So do you think the kids kind of... You know, kind of corralled her into doing this as an intervention.
Because those kids looked actually happy. Believe it or not, they were sort of like
they
smiling.
They knew what was coming.
They were like excited. They were excited for this. And they were like, and by the way,
because Kim just leaves the room whenever they confront her about it at home. Yeah. You know, she's like, I'm not listening to this.
Those kids were totally poised.
Asa.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys. I'm sorry, but Asa, there's a lady in a plastic pashmina with a bum. Oh my God.
I thought it was.
I'm
her
sorry.
Head looks like a hookah. Literally,
she
it's
has
like
gigantic
has a thing up top.
Plastic Chanel earrings on. That is awesome.
Armenia on a budget, darling.
Yeah. And she has a mini awesome.
She's
with
like,
her.
Why am I always hot? Because you're wearing a plastic pashmina. Okay.
Wow.
I wonder if she'll go to hot dog.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Ben.
No, darling, it's okay.
I'm the worst.
No, it's okay. So, no, just all I was gonna say is that the kids were like totally poised, and they had like their talking point. They knew what they were doing. Like, the kids were not crying, and
they
weren't like
scared.
They've
probably done this before.
Yeah, and so,
right? Or at least talk to each other.
One kid's missing. Is that
Whitney? Yeah.
Whitney wasn't there. Now, is Whitney the one that also has problems?
I don't know. Which
one of them.
Well,
the son
was the one who had like a mental breakdown, running
the
around
son.
The street naked or something.
But he was there. Like, you need to get it together.
And she's like, I hardly even drank.
And he's like, yeah, but you're still taking all those pills and smoking pot. She's like, oh, come on, I didn't drink a pill. You're accusing me of drinking a pill? I don't even have a cup that small.
Well, what I liked then was that, so like midway through the show, Kim revealed that, oops, she has actually had a few drinks over the course of the past few months. And so then Dr.
Bill... not before that.
Yeah. That's it.
And then Dr. Bill's like, so during, let's watch like this clip from the reunion. And he's like, well, why didn't, you know, you were saying that you have not been struggling with your sobriety, yada, yada, yada.
And that was a moment of honesty, at least.
And she was like, well, she's like, I wanted to tell the housewives that they were right. And then she starts to cry. She's like, but, you know, they just weren't making it easy for me. I was like, they could not have actually been any easier. They were saying, like we think you need to be in, like, recovery or whatever. We think you're an addict. And she should have been like, I am, and I'm sorry, whatever, like... And instead, she just blames them. It's like their fault that she wasn't able to lie.
Yeah,
and therefore,
every time
that's
he really
it was their
had
fault
her,
why she was badgering them.
Every time he really had her in the corner, it was,
my mom died, but Monty
was my sister.
Like, shut up, Kim. Like, you can't just bring people into your
house.
And
I'm glad he called her out about the dog thing, too.
And she was, and she also said she was...
Yeah, and I'm glad he said, well, the dog thing, who cares? The dog bit a kid. Nobody meant to do it.
It was a battlefield. Yeah, that's a very good point. It was a battlefield about things that are going deeper. Because she was like... She also said one of the reasons why she didn't say anything on the reunion was because she hadn't seen Kyle in 5 months and was, like, nervous. So in a way, it's like, oh, now it's Kyle's fault, in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, what, the Kyle situation, etc. So then, I think at this point the kids came in, right? Because at that point, Dr. Phil asked them about Randy Glanville.
Oh,
and the son
was
like,
good.
She's toxic. I was like,
yeah.
And she's like, what? And he's like, well, you know, I think she is a good friend for you, but she's toxic. I was like, make up your mind, okay? You guys can't be so wishy-washy.
Well, the girls were more diplomatic. You could tell the girls were, like, trying to just play fair, but no, I don't think any of them like her.
No, I don't think so at all. She's like, she's been there. She's not toxic because, you know, like, she's not a song on the radio. I don't understand why you just call her that. She's not Britney Spears.
Like, I don't think that she drinks with her, but I don't think that... I think the other girls confront her and Brandy doesn't. I don't think Brandy, like, gives her alcohol or whatever, but I also think Brandy... Brandy turns the other way, Kim's behavior, and the others don't.
Or it's more like Brandy maybe enables Kim in the excuse department.
Yes.
So when Kim has all these excuses, and Brandy probably feeds
him,
and she's like, no, you're right.
Yeah.
She isn't there. Kyle's bad for you. Da 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 da.
Yeah.
And then Kim gets more convicted with her excuses, and maybe that allows her to.
Yes.
You know, to drink more, or as Dr. Phil says, usurp her coping energy.
Brandy did say at the beach when she was on the beach with Jennifer having to talk about Kim, and she's like, well, it's so much more than you even know. Like, she made some comment like that to where she knows Kim's taking the pills, but it's not your job as a friend to tell somebody, listen, you're relapsing on your drug use, your alcoholism. That stuff happens all the time, so it is tricky. Like, the thing that makes me crazy with Kim is not that she's an addict or that she's drunk all the time. Like, I don't mind that. I mind that she's just blaming everybody else all the time for her shit. I hate that.
And you can't just... It's sort of like the whole thing is when Lisa came in, she's like us. Lisa's... Because everybody else sort of walks around it, like, whoop, all right, well, this is... But Lisa's like, wait, huh? What's wrong with you? Like, she immediately is like, no, this isn't normal.
Well, she's
and
also
most
friends
people
with
are,
Kyle.
But also, most people are so probably, like, beat down from her behavior, tired of her behavior, used to seeing her behavior.
Right.
So they just ignore it or they just don't want to deal anymore.
Yeah.
And
I think if I came into a new group of people, a generally new group of people, and one person was, I was told that one person is sober and is no longer drinking, and then that person does something that is totally indicative of them being not sober, I would be like, everyone, I think there's actually a problem.
Yeah.
I'd be like, is anyone like,
or you
really
would even say to the person, like, wait, are you been, you know, like she did, like, have you been drinking? You know, just sort of like, I thought,
it became the storyline because Kim got so mad about it. If she had just said, thank you for talking about me and asking if I'm okay, but I'm okay, I'm doing fine.
Right.
Yeah. But she's not doing fine, so she went into alcoholism defense mode, which is like...
I do wish that Dr. Phil would have been able to ask Kim about, like, Lisa Rinna and ask him and be like, well, why doesn't she have a right to ask these questions? But I guess that wasn't the purpose of the show. The purpose was really to focus on Kim. But I really wanted him to...
It was funny when they showed the Housewives clips because they just look out of context. I mean, they're horrifying enough when you're watching those reunions because it really is just bloodshed.
Right.
But when you see it out of context on a show like that, it just looks 10 times trashier. They're like, he's like, well, all right, here we are. Let's see what you were just acting like a few weeks ago. And they cut to the reunion and she's screaming and yelling like a drunk idiot. And he's like, so there you were, so you weren't drunk? Nah, I wasn't drunk. Oh, so you're just slurring and screaming like a lunatic?
And she's like, I wasn't doing it because I was drunk. So then he literally goes, she didn't drink on the show. She was just slurry and belligerent angry because she's a slurry, belligerent, angry woman.
Yeah. And Kim laughs.
She's
Kim's
like,
whatever.
Like a teenager. She's still a teenager.
The other thing that I really liked that he did was he bullet pointed all the reasons she drinks.
Yes.
And I thought that was actually, you could tell, like, she really took that in, because I was sort of like, yes, like, she has had a hard, hard time, especially the whole thing with the guy getting killed while she's on the phone.
Oh, yeah,
with
out
him.
Of nowhere, she's like, you know, he's like, you know, maybe one of the reasons why you drink is, I mean, I don't know anyone who's been talking on the phone with someone, they get shot dead, the love of their life gets shot dead. It's just like,
but just
a puddle of tears.
But I mean, he's got a really, Dr. Phil has really mastered that kind of Oprah thing of like, that was a dig, but it was in this kind of sort of empathetic way. Like, it was good for her, but it was also for everybody to understand, like, this woman's experienced a lot of trauma.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think you've actually been through legitimate shit.
Yeah,
to be
so we get it. Why you need some drinks?
Depressed.
Yeah,
she
and drunk.
I don't think she had any idea that any of this was coming towards her. Because, like, he does not sugarcoat it. Really, he was like, that is meltdown mothering, you know? And I think that with her...
I've seen better gerbil mothers, and they eat their babies, look like little pencil erasers, and they're better
that
than
is
you,
not
at least they're
a
not
hot
drunk.
That is not a hot dog on a stick. That is a hot dog in a bun in a trash can. Everyone, Angie has to go. She has to leave the mall. She's too many hot dogs on a stick.
Bye,
bye, everybody.
Bye, Angie.
Thank
good
you.
Luck.
Bye.
Bye,
bye,
honey.
Good
bye.
To see
bye.
You.
Bye. Ooh, kiss
see you later. Maybe I'll bye. See you at the fight.
Yeah.
All right, so I was going to say her hot dog on a stick cup is at least staying, but it wasn't.
Yeah, she took, Angie actually did get a hot dog on a stick. No, but the thing was that, you know, Kim, I love how Kim approaches Dr. Phil in the beginning. He's like, I love your show. I've been watching it forever. I DVR episodes, which is such bullshit. Because if she watched the show, she would totally have known that she was walking into.
Yeah, I love your show. I watch it every day.
She was absolutely destroyed. So then, as the hour comes to an end, Dr. Phil's like, well, what if I've told you we've arranged a rehab and it's on us? Would you go? She's like, well, I can't be out of state. I have a list of demands. And then she listed it. She's like,
I only want green M&Ms for breakfast. And then I don't eat lunch, but I want Franzia for dinner. And I'm not going to budge.
She's like, you can't do that in rehab.
I'm not going.
And he's like, it has to be nearby. And he's like, well, okay. And so the kids are like, Mom, just go. She's like, fine. He's like, well, we've arranged for you a rehab nearby here in Malibu. She's like, I won't go.
Yeah.
And she storms out. And then Dr. Phil basically was like, I wanted her to come up with all her excuses first. And then we would tell her where it was. Because then she had no more excuses. And so she's like, ah. And she storms out.
Oh,
so is this an intervention? I have stress. Mm.
She runs down the hallway. The best part of this was her kids, you know, seeing their side of it and what they've been dealing with. When they're like, Mom, come on. He's offering you free rehab. Just go. You need to do it.
Now you get out of here. You betray me, secret keeper.
Like, Mom, we're not. It's not a secret. It's just, you know, you need to go and take care of yourself.
I don't do nothing.
Well, you're still, you know, pills, pot, and booze.
Oh, hardly ever. Come on.
Yeah, that was the other thing. That basically the son outed her as doing more than booze. Like, all that stuff. It was, I mean, she really, she got, and then I think that's probably when her publicist must have stepped in. Because, you know, 2 days later, Kim went to rehab, right? But... She probably went to rehab.
I like when she said bye to Dr. Phil, though. He came and he's like, well, I just came by the dressing room to say bye. And she goes from screaming and crying and, like, having a fucking fit to,
oh, thank you so much. You saw that you're here. I love you.
He's like, all right, then.
Which also goes to show how she can totally pull it together in, like, a totally fake way to give off this impression that she is totally fine.
Yeah, and her little teenage voice. No.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it.
Well, I hope she heals not too much because I need her to still be funny if she's going to be on this show. But
she probably won't be on the show. Too much reliability.
We've talked about Kim so much this season, and we were just on that other podcast talking about Kim. And I'm glad to be done with this bitch for a while.
Bye,
Kim.
All right, Kim. We are closing the book on Kim until next week. When we open it up again, all over again.
No, it's over. No more Kim.
Well, then why don't we move on to, what do you want to talk about? Real Housewives of New York?
Sure.
All right. So...
Real Housewives of New York. So we actually, I don't have like my extensive notes today,
it started
so
with,
I have to do this by memes.
Okay, I think it started with Bethany's birthday party. Bethany decided to have a birthday party, right?
Didn't yeah.
they, isn't that how it started, more or less?
Basically, yeah. I mean, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. I don't remember exactly how it started. But Bethany had a birthday party, and she invited everyone except Kristen and Dorinda. Dorinda couldn't go.
Okay, first of all, Bethany is the biggest... one of the biggest assholes on TV right now. Yeah. I guess she forgot the episode of her show where she had a nervous breakdown in the bathroom because her husband was a dick enough to throw her a birthday party. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Jason threw her a birthday party, and she's like, I don't like to celebrate my birthday. I don't like it. Blah, 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 blah. And he threw her one, and she started throwing a fit and ran into the bathroom and sobbed and then screamed at him, like, how could you do this to me? That's my birthday, my mother, blah, blah, blah. But now it's okay. She's like, yeah. Oh, I had a birthday because this year I'm fine. I don't know why. It's like, oh, God, hypocrite.
Even just her talking about the birthday, she's like, you know, every year birthday comes up, and I'm like, oh, it's like, oh, my God, it's already November 3rd. And it's like, I'm born the same day, my mom's 20th birthday. It's like, oh, I'm like, just shut up.
Yeah, I hate my birthday so much that I just told America the exact date of it, so they'll be sending me something on November 3rd.
Yeah, send her a skinny girl greeting card. The new line.
Like, my card was so thin, you just didn't see it, darling. Sorry. But the thinnest card I could find.
It was published by Lisa. I had Lisa Vanderpump to write it. It was so skinny. I had Lisa Vanderpump. I was like, Chef Penny, put a recipe in this card.
I almost sent you some skinny girl, darling, but we're in the Burbank Mall, darling. There are none of those there. No. I just had to get you a Diet Coke. I hope that's all right.
Darling, I'm in a lawsuit with Bethany Frankel because she's mad that I'm coming out with a skinny vase. It's a smaller vase. You can put more flowers in there.
Mine is called Skinny Woman.
Yeah. Skinny Darling.
Skinny Darling.
Penny, make
Mom jeans at any age.
Penny, can you make some low-cal salmon mousse, please? Chef Penny.
Form it into a bar, darling. Put a wrapper on it and call it a day.
Chef Penny, don't put so much sugar in the tuna tartare. It needs to be good for Skinny Darling.
Bethany's birthday is just like a dinner, right? So the only one she actually invited was Ramona out of all of the girls. Because later, when she had the fight, she said, well, I didn't even invite Carol. I just happened to see her out. And I thought, oh, Carol's here. So I'll invite her. And then she said, can I bring Heather? And I said, yeah. And Heather's like, so I was your plus one. And she's like, yeah. Well, I mean, so what? I don't know you. Well, I don't even know anybody. No. And the reason that she's a bitch is because you're all in the same cast and you do things together. And when you don't invite two people, they feel left out. That's not weird, Bethany.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, I don't know. Can you talk about plus ones if... Okay, wait, let me back up my thought. When the birthday party, dinner party happened, I got the impression that invitations... or formal phone calls went out, or an Evite that was like, you're invited to this dinner party and you can bring a guest. Because there was all this discussion because Sonia's plus one brought a plus one also, which was pretty rude, I thought.
Well, so, of course it's rude, but they're 20.
They're 20, I mean, they're models, they don't know that it's entitled. Rude.
That guy looked so impressed that he was drinking wine in a glass. When they did a cheers, his friend went, ooh,
I know.
Like, la-di-da, we're doing a cheers in a wine glass.
Exactly. There's a jacked gentleman walking by. It's sort of like the Armenian version of a Guido.
Yeah.
It's kind of hot.
No.
No, Ronnie doesn't.
No, Ben, no. Sorry about it's your all penis.
All roid rich. But so anyway, what was I going to say? So anyway, I was under the impression that there was sort of like a formal plus one situation. But then when Bethany says, oh yeah, I saw Carol, and then Carol said, can I bring Heather? So Heather... when you do it like that, it doesn't feel like it's a plus one situation, right?
No.
If you're especially in the same cast, like,
well,
it seems like it's just like a party. Like, oh, yeah.
She rented out a room, so it's not like she had a set number of people that could be there. She rents out a room for her birthday that you know Bravo is paying for because she's doing it on camera, or the restaurant is donating it because she's doing it on camera. Then she doesn't want to invite anybody from the cast to come. Like, fuck you, bitch. You're on the show with 20 other women, or how many of our cast members there are this year. You don't get the free shit and not do the work. That's so lame. That's like a Kim Richards. She's like, I want everything free, but I don't want to have to interact with anybody. I want a big, probably skinny girl in the middle of the table. And that's it.
Yeah. And you know what? One thing that bothered me about this birthday dinner, we mentioned it on the other podcast, is that it really bothered me when Bethany then got up on the table and started dancing. To me, it was so pre-planned. Like, she's like, oh, well, I want to show people I'm fun, you know, because I'm fun Bethany. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, like, get on the table and dance. It'll be hilarious. And people think I'm, like, free-spirited and, like, the best. It's like, it just felt so thirsty.
Yeah, when she went into her hotel room and the hotel had given her like flowers or a happy birthday card or something, it made me almost sad when she was like, oh my God, this is so nice. I'm gonna keep this card. I'm gonna keep it. I was like, oh God, Jesus. Poor thing. It's probably like the closest friend she has right now, you know, employees.
Yeah, exactly. Bellhops.
Because who the hell else could hang out with her? If she is even toning it down a little bit for TV, which I'm sure she is.
Yeah.
She's just awful. Like, she was awful the whole episode.
I'm surprised that she didn't get a happy birthday thing from, like, the American Homeless Society, you know? Because, you know, she's homeless, guys.
It's like, no one even sent me soup.
Yeah. I didn't get a Campbell's soup. Where's my non-perishables?
It's like, listen, if you're going to give me something, don't just buy me a sandwich at a store. Do you know how rude that is? Like, maybe I don't want a sandwich. Maybe I want a turkey. I mean, give me the money. If I'm going to buy booze with it, that's my choice. I'm homeless. All right, Bethany. But then later in the episode, she goes to dinner with Heather and Dorinda and Carol, and they're all having fun at first, even though Bethany's being totally rude the whole time and making dead husband jokes to the widows and talking about how she needs to figure out how to remarket the word. What is it? Widowhood, like, or something?
Late husband.
Yeah, late something.
Husband. You know what we gotta do? It. You know what? Skinny corpse. That's what we call it.
Skinny corpse.
Because you know your body loses weight.
Then we can drink them.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's thinner than the corpse. I mean, give them time.
That's what I'm going for. That's the look I'm going for. Skinny corpse.
Do you want to die? Do it in a skinny corpse coffin. We'll make sure you decompose fastest, so you're thinner when you're dead faster. quick decomposition. Skinny corpse.
Corpse on a stick. So, but by the way, so the funny thing when they all got together for this thing is that, like, Heather gets there is like, Hey, Beth.
Oh, God.
I was having lunch with Beth before.
Oh, God. She's like, is it so hard to say Bethany? Like, those two syllables are really hard. And Heather's like, come on, it's my thing. Would you rather me call you B? It's my thing, okay? I'm urban, and that's what they do.
Yeah, so. Like, you know, your crib is fly, Beth.
You're on fleek, Beth. Well, she'll learn that in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's a few years down the line.
Yeah, she's like, well, if you're not more polite to me, you're never going to get it, ever going to get it, Beth.
Okay? I'm Audi 5000, Beth.
She's like, listen, I heard it through the grapevine, Beth.
So anyway, so...
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, Beth. So they go, they're having fun, even though I think Bethany's still being a terrorist and being really rude.
Bethany's like, she's just in a constant state of rolling her eyes over everything, you know?
Yeah, everyone else is stupid, you know? All right. Hairy guy screaming fuck you at the guy from Tokyo Grill. I'd love to see a war between the,
I'm very interested to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, me too.
So for those people who aren't here, which is all of you, there's a guy who's talking to... He's actually hovering very close.
I know, he saw us look at him.
I know, I'm like, we can't look.
I hate
He's actually, like, really mad right now.
I know, it's so hard to judge. No, I'm not going to.
We can't look, because he'll yell at us. But he is... he's mad at someone. We're trying very hard.
Who, though? I thought he was yelling at the guy from Tokyo Grill.
He's
he just probably learned about MSG today or something.
He's currently complaining to... people at the
hot dog on a stick?
No, not a hot dog on a stick.
Oh, the Brazilian place?
Yeah. Yeah. Lavaca.
Now he's walking by really slowly giving a security look.
Now he's at a hot dog on a stick.
Huh?
I'm like, he's at hot dog on a stick now.
Oh my God, he is angry. He needs to take those meds from a CVS bag.
If something happened at the Tokyo Grill, there's drums at the food court right now. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, there are some drums. Now he's complaining to the hot dog on the stick lady and trying to come on to her. Get out of here, anger man.
Something happened. He literally yelled, fuck you, bitch. I wonder if you could hear it. You probably couldn't hear it on the
Listen, podcast. An upper arm wax would make you feel better than you'll ever know, darling.
Darling, get your eyebrows threaded up on the third floor.
Back wax thread, darling. Get that thing shaped into a heart sign and give off a little more positivity. Yeah, now he's like hitting on the hot dog on a stick girl.
Is he still angry?
He looks less angry because he's trying to hit on a girl. Oh, he just saw me look at him again. God damn it, he has those beady little eyes too. I do not like being in public. It's scary here.
Scary things happen at the Glendale Galleria.
Okay. Oh my God, that lady is wearing plaid with a patterned scarf and a fisherman's hat.
Yeah.
It's like Murder, She Wrote gone terribly, terribly wrong. It's like Murder, She Wrote, but not solving any crimes.
It's like, what happened to Jessica Fletcher, darling? She gave up and started mixing plaid and patterns.
She went to the Glendale Galleria, darling. She went to Hot Topic.
She's like, I'm here to solve the crime of the hairy upper-armed, beady-eyed man screaming at the Tokyo Grill. It turns out my neighbor was framed for it, but he didn't do it after all. Thank God. So anyway, I think we're away from our ghetto life and back to Bethany's.
Okay, so Bethany, so this is, we're jumping around the episode.
That black guy has a huge dick. I'm so sorry, but
I can't look without being awkward.
Humongous. Whenever they're, like, seriously, bigger than his bag.
Wow.
It's bigger than his army bag.
Oh my God. This guy has had a lot of bags.
You guys, seriously, thank whoever started this trend of not wearing underwear in public. Thank you. I'm loving it. That was amazing.
I only got a very quick side.
I feel bad for black guys with that gigantic dick. So that has got to be awful.
Because
it's such a stereotype.
And I know.
I know it's so gross for me to look, but of course, every time someone passes, I immediately look at their dick. I'm a guy. I mean, I'm a guy who likes guys. You know, guys are always looking at boobs. I always look at the package, and that was a special delivery.
Yeah, black guys.
Bigger than his duffel bag, darling. All right,
darling. It was like a hot dog on a stick. Someone smuggled a hot dog out of a stick out of the Glendale Galleria and put it in his pants.
Although, you know, people like that do have very sweaty balls because they're not wearing underwear. And I think underwear is a very important part of not having sweaty nuts.
This is an important message. You know, this is something that maybe people should be aware of when they are getting excited about free ballers.
Yeah, still no one hot then, otherwise. Oh, yeah. Cute little girl, though. Look, that guy could put his penis inside somebody. How did that happen?
You have such a better view than I do.
People get laid.
No one comes through my view. You get to see everyone in the food court.
Yes. We were talking earlier today at Starbucks about, like, our body insecurities and, you know, like, trying to get in shape to keep up with so-and-so. And blah.
That was two hours ago.
I know, but I'm like, I've been thinking about it because, you know, all it takes is a little confidence. I mean, that guy made a baby with somebody. Like, somebody actually not only laid there long enough for him to, like, climax, but, like, is raising a baby with him. Like, Bruce Jenner doesn't even have a vagina yet, and he's loving it. He's having fun.
Bruce Jenner literally had breasts, and he was able to make two babies with Kris Jenner.
Yeah, and he's, like, totally loving his body and having fun, you know? He's got a weird... Yeah, I'm just saying, it's confidence, you know? It's confidence.
Confidence, darling, confidence.
MJ, darling. Yeah. MJ.
Yes. So anyway, So they're all talking, they're at the having drinks, and so Heather brings up, and it was not Heather's place to say this, so she gets dinged for that, but she said it, I think, as politely and inoffensively as you can for saying something that's not her place.
She says everything, like she's talking to a 5-year-old.
Like, hey, Beth, I have one thing I want to talk to you about. It's not that deep. But, you know, I was talking to Kristen, and she was a little offended that...
Her feelings were a little hurt
that she didn't get invited to...
Oh, God, I can't take it. I'm tired. Discussion.
Oh, my God. I'm already asleep. Just wake me up with the discussions. Oh, my God. I mean, really? Are we doing this? Oh, my God. Like, I mean, it's like birthday party. Like, who cares? Like, no big deal. Like, who cares? It's birthday party.
What the hell? What is this, math class? Because I'm sleeping here. Yeah. I'm not paying attention.
Was there a quadratic equation? Because this is, like, calculus, and I'm so bored already. Oh, my God. I'm asleep.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a wrong reaction. And she made it so awkward because she's so aggressive that she couldn't just listen and say, well, it was just a party for a few of my friends and I didn't even think about it, to be honest. I mean, I didn't mean to be rude, but the fact is she did think about it. You know, and I've been reading comments on our Facebook page, as I do 20 times a day, and someone was... I think it's you, Mary Suzanne Bruce, over there. And ooh. I read your comment because I love that she gets so angry about the shows, you know? She has this righteous anger, which I love. And she was saying, you know, I can't believe no one's talking about this, but fuck Heather, it's not, I don't know if you said fuck. You know, I'm not quoting.
The spirit was
but
there.
Yeah,
the spirit of fuck.
I'm in Mary Suzanne Bruce spirit right now, all right? But she's like, fuck, you know, she's like, F her. I can't believe that's even confusing to people. She doesn't even know that girl. Why the hell should she invite her? That's ridiculous. Okay, in real life, you're absolutely correct. You don't have to invite everybody you've ever met to your birthday, and it doesn't make sense. But this is not real life. It's a TV show where they're all cast to be on the same TV show, and Bethany's purposely setting the old school people aside from the new school people so that she doesn't have to film with them or include them like she's going to take over the show. Bitch, you're not going to take over the show.
Yeah.
Don't be a bitch.
I mean, the truth is that she knows Kristen as well as she knows Kristen as well as she knows Heather as well as she knows Carol, basically.
But she said that she didn't even invite them. She just happened to see Carol out. She was like, oh, you know, when you see somebody out and then you're like, oh, well, you're actually nice. Why don't you come?
Isn't it funny that Bethany is like all about the, oh, well, you know, I saw her out, so I decided to impulsively invite her. And yet last week when Luann was like, oh, yeah, I saw Kelly Bensimone out and I decided to impulsively invite her, Bethany's like, no, that's not cool. It's not cool. It's not that. So Bethany's all about social graces last week. And this week, I mean, it doesn't take someone with like 3 brain cells to know that if you're gonna invite if Carol's coming and Heather's coming and basically the entire group is coming except for Kristen, that it's mean. Just the way it's not cool for Luann to invite Kelly Bensimone and not tell Bethany. Yeah. You know, like don't act as if like, oh, I'm just too busy, like it's like whatever, it just was spontaneous because you were mad at Luann for doing the same shit to you last week.
Yeah. And then I love when Heather was saying, well, you know, I think I already said this, but I loved when Heather was like, well, oh, so wait, you weren't going to invite me either, so I'm Carol's plus one? And she's like, yeah, basically. She's like, oh, okay. She's like, well, yeah, I don't know you. Why would I invite you? Why is it so weird that I wouldn't invite you?
I'm
don't even know you.
I wasn't going to
invite, Carol either, but I happened to see her and I liked her, so I thought, why not? I'll invite her.
You asked me the question.
That was just so rude. Yeah, I didn't say that. You asked me and I answered the truth. Like, she's...
Well, I make sure our microphone didn't get this because someone just bopped into our table.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
So okay. We're okay.
Yeah, you know, she's just really rude. Heather is obnoxious. I get it. She does talk down to people condescendingly. I get it. I still like her, though, because I agreed with when she said, you know, why are you being that way? Like she looked at her like, why are you being crazy? What's wrong with you?
Bethany, Heather was right. It was not Heather's place to introduce this entire thing. However, Heather was right. She could have just been like... You know what? Just say, oh, you know, I didn't invite Kristen because I didn't really know her. Sorry, her feelings were hurt. But, you know, the next time I see her, I'll smooth it over. Because that's what a normal person would do. But Bethany's like, oh!
Oh, why would I? Oh, I don't even know you. Gross. And then Dorinda, oh my God, there's a cute person. This never happens.
Yeah.
And he's really
very
cute. Oh my God, he's so made up for the other ones. Oh, well, from further away. Okay, stand right there. Stay there. Stay there. No, you're coming too close.
You're
coming
too close.
Back away. Back away.
Chef Penny.
Back away. You're morphing into the rest of them, darling. Go back. Go back.
Darling. Darling. Chef Penny, throw some flatbread at him. Distract him. Make sure he stops walking.
Darling. That shit is hilarious.
So,
Love your iPhones. 5C, darling. Love the color. Come on over here. Have a seat. Have a seat on Teddy's lap, darling.
Right,
no, you can't sit on my lap and be far away. All right, walk on. Far
darling,
away.
Darling, clear. Neutral colors. Really wonderful.
Clear the almost hot person. Clear him. Oh, there's another cute one. Oh, of course they know each other. Of course the only two cute people in here know each other.
I love them just like turning around just looking at
them. Oh, and they're also both far away cute. Okay, so anyway.
Darling.
What was the point? I forgot.
We're just talking about how Bethany's a bitch.
Yeah, she really is. I don't even think the whole should you invite someone or shouldn't you or blah blah blah. I don't even think that's important. It's just she's an asshole. That's it.
She's an asshole.
She doesn't know how to deal with anything. Watching her in the hotel room being dressed by somebody, I'm like, come on, please, Bethany, spare me.
And so one of our listeners wrote a comment which was so true. She's like, you know, I feel like Bethany is trying to be like, you know, Uncle Shecky at the Catskills. Everything's like tips in the jaw. You know, like everything is
yeah.
like her one-liners are like. A little
they don't even
too,
make sense.
They're just...
That's the thing that's making me the craziest. Like, I mentioned this last week, but when she was saying, like, ah, what is, like, what is that? That's like a bad hand job. I mean, what is that? It's like, that didn't even... It doesn't even correspond to what you're talking about. Like, come on.
She's just...
make an effort.
She's just acting like she's doing everyone, from the producers to the cast members to the viewers, a giant favor.
Yeah.
And showing us that she's doing a favor. It's like, you know what, Bethany? As I said on the For Crying Out Loud podcast, I think that Carol and Dorinda have become the Greek choruses, and you are no longer the Greek chorus. You're just like this, like, really annoying lady right now.
When Dorinda said, well, you know, I'll admit, I was kind of, you know, I mean, I was a little hurt in a way, too, that I wasn't invited.
I was
like, seriously, now you too? Like, well,
like,
I mean, it was superficial, but it was like a little, I mean,
I
sorry.
I don't want to be left out. Yeah. And
yeah.
He's,
like, oh, shut up. I mean, why would I? I don't even know you. Why would I invite you? I mean, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. Ugh.
Exactly. And you know Bethany probably would complain about not being... If she was, like, the one person who's not invited, she'd be like, it's rude. You know, my mother never invited me to things. My mother didn't invite me to her own wedding.
That's why whenever I go to weddings, I have a fit. I cry. I can't help it. Okay, so what else happened on this show?
So Dorinda got into a fight with John.
So something super interesting happening this year, Metal Flip Flops, is that people, watching how the show polarizes, like, people really pick sides, I think, on this show more than the others because the personalities are so hardcore in New York. But I find it very interesting, A, how many people who have turned against Bethany, which she deserves it, but also people are polarizing like Dorinda, which I don't find Dorinda polarizing at all. But today, we, you know, on our Facebook page, a lot of people are like, hater. And today on that other podcast, the girls were like, no, don't like her. She's too much. And I would never act like that with my man, you know, at lunch or whatever. Because she went to dinner or lunch or whatever with her husband, and they got in a fight because her daughter is more important than he is, and she's always taking the daughter's side. And
he made a remark. He was like, he made a passive aggressive remark when she was done eating. He's like, well, maybe you should call your daughter now or something like that.
Yeah, after they'd already fought about.
You better back up and back up fast, John.
Yeah, don't try and come between me and my daughter, Mr. Johnson. You better back it up, mister. Take off your balls, mister.
Mister, take those,
like, what?
You better wash those sequins. Wash those sequins right off that dress and off your attitude.
I really like her. I'm finding her eyebrows fascinating.
Yeah, and I also like that she doesn't seem to have had plastic surgery, right? She
the daughter?
Like, no, the Dorinda.
Oh, I was going to say, of course she hasn't. She's like 10. No, the daughter, I'm talking about the daughter's eyebrows.
Oh,
they're so big. They're like
annoying.
Brooke Shields from the 80s eyebrows.
Daughter's like, I mean, Mom, you're a chubby chaser.
Yeah, it's I find that to be a, you know, I'm really impressed with her confidence. Yeah, she's annoying, but what teenager is
Yeah,
isn't,
she's
you know?
it's like reasonably annoying, you know? It's like, well, she's 21. Like, she's not annoying the way other daughters on Real Housewives are. She's just sort of, like, naturally annoying because she's young.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really enjoying Dorinda. I like that you know that she's going to tell everybody off at some point.
And
you see that in her personality.
Yeah. And I actually really like her relationship with her daughter. Like, when a daughter was basically saying, you're a chubby chaser, and Dorinda just starts, like, cracking up. She's like, I am.
Yeah, it's
I
true.
Am.
It's Mr. true. Jetson. It's true, Mr. Jetson.
It's true. I like Bonnie Rubble more.
if it was between Fred and Bonnie, I'd have to look to see who had the hairier feet. Ooh!
I'd have to see who was ordering the dino ribs first.
You know why I like fat guys? Because they're harder to clean up after, and it takes more of my time. That's how she used to do on the Jetson, like buzzing around with her little...
So, let's see, Dorinda, there was, I wonder, did I write anything down? Did anything happen? Oh, well, Carol played ping pong.
Oh, Carol.
They got, you know what?
I like dating again.
It's hard to do it in here, because you have to be louder.
The only problem I had with that whole ping pong scene is such a small thing. But I don't know if you noticed, as the scene progressed, there were ping pong balls all over the floor. I was like, pick up your damn ping pong balls.
They couldn't because the camera guys were standing there, so they couldn't do it.
I know, but at the end they showed him walking out with a basket full of ping pong balls. It's like, okay, they did it. But I was like...
Is Bravo... I'm sorry.
No, it's just like, I was like, well, it was just bothering me. I was like, there are balls everywhere.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that too. I was like, oh, it must be fun to be a busboy whenever Bravo comes around. They're just like, ah, drop it. But is Bravo trying to make a ping pong show? Because they're really obsessed with ping pong.
Yeah.
I've seen ping pong like 50,000 times on Bravo now. It's been on every show.
Ping pong is the new vagina waxing.
Darling, vajazzle.
Darling, we're going to put a ping pong table.
You don't need
pump,
to come back. Slip and slides, darling.
Darling, let's go. Well, let's see Stassi play some ping pong. We'll put it in pump. We'll call it pump pong. Ping pong.
Ping pong.
Darling. Put a big planter on the table. They gotta hit the ball over it.
All right, I want a game like ping pong. All right, I want to invent our own game. I want a game like ping pong, Chef Penny. But instead of you know hitting a ball over a net, I want it to be on a table, and then there's a net in the middle, and then you have little tennis rackets, and then you hit the ball over that net. Yeah.
darling, here's
we'll
my
call
idea.
It tiny pong, tiny
darling,
tennis.
Darling, here's what you do. You get an ice cream scooper. You go. You make a scoop of tuna tartare. You put it in the freezer, and once it's hard, you start hitting it around on a ball on the table. Ta-ta pong, darling. Do it right
ta-ta
now.
Ta-ta ball.
It's very sexy.
Ping ta-ta, darling.
It's called sup. Sexy unique pong.
So let's see. What else happened in this episode?
Carol's dating
a young guy. Okay.
Which I approve of.
Yeah, I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
But I do think it's very funny how women, you know, women have have this thing where they say men have a double standard, right?
Yeah.
Because it's okay for a man to do it, but then whenever a woman does it, everybody makes fun of them and blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm sorry, but I see it the other way. I think that women have a double standard because they're always complaining about men dating children. And then when they do it, they say things like,
well, you know, I think when they're between the ages of 29 and 5, they understand how to treat a woman.
It's like, oh, okay. Oh, that's why? Oh, I get it.
No, I need the double...
It's not as smooth ass. It's that you're connecting on a spiritual level, really? Because you sound like every man who's left his wife so far.
No, I like what Carol said, because she was basically saying that when they're really young, they're too dumb to know any better. When they're really old, they have enough experience to know how to, like, approach women. But what I think the double standard is that these women are totally shady to each other about being cougars. Like, oh, well, Sonia has a younger man. I mean, good for her. But you know they don't believe good for her. They just, you know, that they... It's a total double standard perpetuated mainly by the women.
And it's, yeah, it's another... It's a, everybody's got them, I guess. But when she says things like, oh, you know,
age isn't a big deal.
Really date an 80-year-old then. Because I doubt we're ever going to see that. But I don't... I actually do agree with her bullshit excuse. That it is totally fine. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah, he's hot. Why not? He's hot. He's into her, so.
Yeah, I mean, I bang him younger when I can. You do what you can, y'all.
Yeah, y'all. Go for that.
Just be prepared for them to leave you when you turn 60.
Yeah. All right? I think she is. I don't think she even think. They're probably just I don't think it's like a real.
She needs to stop mentioning her age, though. You should not do that when you're dating a.
Yellow. All right, a whole bunch of yellow and some flop, some, what do you call that when it's your
ass?
It's
called spring. That's why I have yellow plates. Yellow plates and yellow dishes.
What do you call it? Those yellow pants remind me of sunshine. some woman just walked by with a big yellow, you know what this, I'm sorry, every time I pause it's because some other weird fashion.
She threw lace. Who do we blame for that? That is so 90s, like early 90s. Remember when everybody would wear those see-through lace shirts with like a units thing under? Like a units, like tube dress that goes all the way down to the floor?
Well, you know what? See-through lace, it reminds me of my draperies growing up. And sometimes when it was like dark in the room, I would open up the draperies and sunshine would come through and I felt a lot happier. So I'm sorry, but like I really like my lace. I'm sorry.
This
okay.
is the new Ramona, okay?
Okay.
I like see-through things. You know, one time I was hungry and I was a kid and my mom wasn't home to feed me and my father was being abusive. And so I went to the refrigerator and I opened it and there were some carrot sticks in a Ziploc bag, which was see-through. So ever since then, I've loved see-through things.
One time when I was younger, I was in my room and I thought it would be a wonderful day. And I looked out the window, which you can see through, and I saw Geraldine Parsons Smith coming over. And I knew it was going to be a bad day. Okay? So ever since then, I really appreciate windows because that way I can know when something bad's going to happen.
You know, if Mario was more see-through, I would have known about this a long time ago, and the new Ramona could have come out because she wasn't hidden behind a wall that wasn't see-through. Now, there's no wall in front of me. Everything's see-through. Look, it's air. It's air. It's see-through. It's the new Ramona.
One of my fondest memories was when Mario, Avery, and I went to the Corning Glass Factory, and we saw nothing but glasses, and it was just like a whole day of see-through things. Okay? That was before things went bad.
I used to walk behind Avery, and I would say, Avery, turn around. And then she would turn around, and I'd be looking at her through a glass. And I'd say, can you see me? And she'd say, yes. And I'd say, exactly. That's why life is wonderful.
One of my favorite things to do is that when I have a beverage, I get ice in it, okay? Because when you have an ice cube, you can see through it. So you can see the beverage through your ice cube, okay? I'm sorry.
The more see-through things you eat, the more see-through you are inside, okay? It's the new Ramona. I'm starting over. See-through.
My favorite movie as a young lady was The Abyss because there were aliens in the water, but the aliens were see-through, okay?
My favorite television show right now is Transparent.
Because you could see through. You know what? You know what I... No, I was just cracking myself up.
I'm cracking myself up. So stupid.
You know what's very important for me? Is that when I go to a salad bar that there's a sneeze guard there? Only because this way I can see through the sneeze guard and see what's in the salad bar. I hear that they have them at the Lavaca Brazilian bar too.
If I go to a buffet and there's lids on the food, I won't eat it. Give me a sneeze guard any day, okay?
I will never eat at any restaurant when the food comes out in the silver dome. Never. I need to see my food.
I never played hide and seek. I almost had a nervous breakdown as a kid because I couldn't see anything. I was hiding in a closet. I almost died.
You know what? The reason why I eat so much cake is because so many times I see a cake in a cake dome and I can see the cake through the cake dome and I think, okay, I can see it. I gotta eat it.
I'm not even hungry, but I'm gonna eat it.
I'm gonna eat it because I can see it.
It's transparent.
I see right through the cake dome.
Have you ever tried to eat a glass? Don't. It hurts.
Don't.
Just
only
look
through
just
it.
Look.
You know what? When I read Alice Through the Looking Glass, it really resonated with me. You know why? Because she was looking through a glass. Okay.
Oh, so speaking of Ramona, Ramona, she's like, I went to this party, and I was talking to this guy, and he really loved my personality and my socialist. And what did she say? She's like, she said something like my business sense, but she's like, he really liked my business acumentaries. Like, she couldn't even speak. I was like, yeah, you're a real pro. Hey, kid, what's up? How you doing? Kids love me. Yeah. Did you see that?
Kid just ran away from Ronnie.
Kids wonder what this big, bald baby is doing. They always look at me like, you're an odd little creature, man. But, so she's like, I went to this party and I met this guy and he was really impressed with my business sensitivity. And so he asked me if I wanted to be partners with him in a restaurant. And so this is our restaurant. And I just want to make it more, you know, uptown chic downtown, because it's like hipster chic downtown and it's a new Ramona. I'm like, you know, he was just asking you for money, right? Yeah. That's what being a partner means.
Yeah, it's like, I really want to go to a sports bar that's been designed by Ramona Singer.
She's okay. Like, okay, let's turn all the TVs around. I want people actually playing sports in here.
Yeah.
I don't want this to be false advertising.
And I want them to carry bars, okay?
But I love that she's like, I never would leave uptown, but now I'm going to come downtown because I have this, because I'm a new person. It's New Vermont.
The only reason why she decided to come on board the project is because the bar's called AOA. So that way she could go, okay, AOA. Oh, you come to my new bar, AOA.
I love vowels.
I can imagine the redesign. She's like, whoa, okay, whoa. There's a lot of plywood in here, okay? And this really is taking me back to the forest, okay? Really reminds me of the Berkshires, okay? My inner soul is crying. I can even hear my inner soul crying right now, okay?
You know what people would really like? Couches with plastic on them, and old lady curtains, and doilies.
Okay.
I mean, her house needs an update. That apartment,
yeah,
it looks like
making Sonia's look modern.
Yeah, it looks really decrepit. All right, so anyway, Ramona's going to be in some restaurant, and watching Ramona flirt with this guy is just so cute. Because she's looking at his dick the whole time, and he's looking at her wallet the whole time. And she's actually thinking that this guy's after her bug-eyed vagina. No, girl, he is after your wallet.
I like to flirt. I like to flirt. It's fun.
Oh, I like flirting. I like how she flirts. He's like, so how's your day? She's like, good, how about you? Oh my god, oh my god.
She's flirting. Like, you know, it's good. You know, the sun came out, you know, I like sunshine. But, you know, who doesn't, you know?
Do you have any yellow plates? I do. Okay.
What else?
So Ramona is boring. Okay,
Kristen.
So now we have to talk about something real quick, which is we didn't talk about it during the whole Bethany thing. So all the women in this episode over such a stupid thing, this is the big divide for the whole season, it looks like. Because it all started with Bethany not inviting, and now it looks like Luann, Bethany, and all these girls are going to go against the newer girls.
Right.
Because Luann is telling people off on Twitter now, which is hilarious.
Yeah,
she was live tweeting through the other night and just being a bitch. I mean, like,
she went off on Carol.
I thought it was super, because these women, whatever that makes them mad the first day they meet, they hold on to until the other one is dead. Luann is mad because Carol. What did Carol do that made her so mad? She, like, questioned her title or something did in the first
princess,
season.
The Countess, yeah.
Yes. And so she's acted like she's okay with Carol, but
Michelle
she's
Obama,
never been okay with
Michelle,
her.
The issue of the dress, too, where Luann wanted a loner from this, like, designer that Carol introduced her to, and Carol's like, you're not Michelle Obama.
Yeah, you're not an Obama.
And Luann was like, well, I pretty much am.
Yeah. It's like, thank God I'm not cooped up in the house. I'm at a sex club on the Upper East Side getting dick in the kitchen. I mean, what's she doing? Trying to help fat children. I mean, God. But anyway, so everybody seems to be divided because the Countess is obviously pissed. Frankly, I would expect better zingers because she really didn't have zingers. She said, an emoji that says sex. Oh, give me a break. And then what was her other ones? There were like four or five
of
them.
Well, we know Luann is not always the best with her put-downs. I mean, don't forget, we have yet to see it, you know. Be cool. Don't be all...
Not cool. But when she's saying, God, what was she going? Oh, she was going off about, we see in the previews for next week that she's like, oh, well, you put me in an awkward position because that's my niece and blah, 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 blah.
Whatever.
Listen, drop the class, bitch. You were the one who went and fucked some dude at a bar, barely on camera, and then told lady in broken Span English French that she can't tell your boy. I mean, come on. Like, you're so classy. You took the ladies to a senior sex club. Stop
there's it. Probably a fight later on the season that has made Luann mad at Carol, and now she's just going to be mad at Carol.
Well, it looks like she's going to be mad at her about this thing.
This does not seem very classy.
The young guy.
She's probably just jealous because she wanted the chef.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I'm not going to go after the chef because he was dating my niece. happy than Carol got him.
Yeah,
so
but
pissed.
Carol doesn't have to. Carol doesn't have to care about who your niece dated.
Yeah.
She has nothing to do with that.
Who cares?
But I love that Carol's like,
I haven't told Luann, but I'm gonna. She's not gonna care.
And then they show her looking like frightened.
Yeah, Luann's gonna start smashing her Countess plates.
Yeah, so what else happened on that show?
It was mainly, I mean,
poor Kristen is being edged out, though.
Her,
she's
her
out
one
of
scene
there.
Was her getting a phone call being like, oh, yeah, we all went to a party without you. She's like, oh, okay, did you go?
And then the maid just made dinner.
Maid's like, I make a pan-roasted chicken, like Thai chicken. And Kristen's like, okay.
Can we put some saran wrap so I can pretend I cooked it?
Okay, bye. Her big story is whether or not she's going to eat her dinner later.
Yeah, she's like, so if one of your friends didn't invite you to a birthday party, if you were in a new group of friends and someone didn't invite you, what would you do? She's like, I don't care. I don't care what people do. People do whatever they want. I don't care. She's like, yeah, but what if it hurt your feelings? I don't care. Yeah, but what if everybody else is invited? I don't care.
She's like, bitch, I just made you two dinners and you haven't even eaten them and you're going to saran wrap them and ruin them for later.
She's like, how would you feel if one of your best friends took credit for all your work? And then told you to leave before her husband got there because she's too embarrassed to admit that you do things for her. Awkward silence.
I think that was it. Did Sonia do anything? I don't think Sonia did anything. She just
well,
had the
Sonia's
guy,
banging the guy she met at the sex club or whatever. And he's like a weird lip licker. I can't with that guy. This is him. He's like...
Well, the best is his friend comes, as we mentioned before, as the plus one.
His gay friend.
His gay friend is like, gay. Oh yeah, he's like... He's like, hey girl, I gave you my number at the fashion show. And Sonya's like, oh yeah, whoops, the small world. I'm like, don't worry, Sonya. He just wanted to go shopping with you.
Yeah,
trust
no
me.
Pity. She's like, oh, that's right, Pickles. Right, Pickles?
Pickles.
Come on in, Pickles. Where have you been?
Pickles, did you fix his beater number three yet? Pickles has been fixing my Peugeot.
But, you know, so she's banging a guy who's, I think, what was he, 21 or something? Like, he's really young.
He's young and hot. I'd say
Carol's,
all the power too.
Carol's banging a young one. And so, of course, Bethany, who's so thrilled with her life and so happy, stands up at her birthday party and is like, well, first, I'd like to give a toast to cougars because we're all cougars now. The art of cougars. Wow, the art of... It's like, even in your fucking birthday speech, you have to be critical of people. Can you just stop being a bitch? And the only reason I'm bringing that up again is because the episode did that too. Did you notice that? Like, they went 4 weeks in time, and Carol's like, oh, now I've been dating this guy a few weeks, and we're playing ping pong.
Yeah.
And then we were back at the night of Bethany's birthday, dancing on tables. And I was like, let's let it go, guys.
Yeah.
This is not fucking... What's that movie where everything went backwards?
Memento.
Time? Yeah, it's not Memento, all right, darling?
Yeah.
So what else happened on New York? I think
I don't know.
That's
I think
all
that's
the big
it.
Ones,
I think,
right?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay, so now we're in the car, and we're leaving the mall.
Yeah.
And we actually lost half of that podcast because I hit the table, and we can't do that because the stupid cord shakes, and it broke the computer and hurt our pot. Anyway, we lost like an
I'm
hour
gonna
of the
buy
podcast.
I'm going to buy a new microphone, so we never have to deal with this problem ever again.
Yeah, so we thought, screw it, because we did that other podcast. We did two of their episodes today, and oh my God, they were so fun. They were...
Yeah.
Just, like, really cool chicks, so it was just a nice conversation, but we did that, and then we've been talking in the car, and then we did the mall podcast.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know what? Fuck the Shaws and fuck Southern Charm. We're done.
We're not recording again more banter on these two shows.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So we were like, screw it, and we got in the car, and then we started talking, and I was like, oh, this is perfect time. So now I'm recording this on my cell phone.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to work, but since we've already started the day with shitty podcast quality...
Yeah, I mean, why not? It probably sounds better than the mall.
In the mall.
So we're currently trying to get out of the Glendale Galleria, so... darling, there's just so many...
Look at all these cars.
Chef Penny, quick, get to the intersection. Direct traffic. Pandy, put some salt and paper checkers.
That's a big Target, girl.
Oh.
Sorry. You go ahead, y'all. You earned the right to cross.
You earned the right pedestrians.
They're cute.
They're
like,
nice.
She has a kid in every sport.
This is like the cute side of the mall. This is where... So... Something that's very important that was perhaps lost in our great technical snafu of 2015 was that a big old hunky guy showed up at the food court at Chipotle.
That guy was so hot.
And
he was like the right amount of fat. Like he wasn't like fat, but he was like kind of built. But I mean, I like that. I like it.
Yeah,
he was tall.
He
eats, but he wasn't like huge. You know,
he had a handsome
so
face.
Cute.
He wasn't really my style, but he had a handsome face for sure. And given the other gentlemen who were at the mall, it was definitely a step up.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you automatically win in Burbank.
Yeah. Well, we're in Glendale now.
Oh, what? Same diff. Okay, let's do...
Okay.
let's re-talk about those shows. Okay, pretend we didn't talk about anything.
Yes,
okay?
Yes, okay.
All right, so Shaws of Sunset. Okay.
Oh, my God.
What did you think about Shaws of Sunset?
You know, here are my thoughts on Shaws of Sunset. So, Jessica, she's a real problem lady. She, you know what? This is one thing I said. You know, I'm going to stop saying this is something I said because no one knows what I said. So I'm going to say it as if I said it for the first
time.
Yeah,
okay. You can repeat. I'm not
I just feel like there's someone
repeating.
Looking over my shoulder being like, you already said that then.
Yeah, you've already said that. I say the same things like every week. I forget that I've
said that. But here's the thing with Jessica. When Mike was like, you know what, I want to have a reconciliation dinner. I want, like, you know, I want us to, like, I want us to mend and everything. And Jessica's like, all right, I will go, but I want you to know I'm doing this for you. I'm only doing this for you. And I fucking hate that. I hate when people say that. It's so manipulative. It's like a running tab of all the things they've done for you. They're going to hold it against you. And I think that Jessica, she just wants to, like, marry a man, and she's afraid of, this is her goal, and she doesn't want to lose it, so therefore, she's going to perpetually remind him of all the reasons why he should keep her, because she did this for him, and she did this for him, and
I shaved your back, plucked your knees, and turned your butt hair into a heart. You are not gonna disobey me.
Exactly.
She's one of those women who, or one of those people, frankly.
Yeah, people.
In this case, one of those women who doesn't even matter who she marries because she's going to browbeat and try and change and ultimately resent whoever the fuck it is
right.
Because everybody surrounding her has a problem. Nothing's wrong with her. You know, her Frogger face is just fine to walk around with. It's beautiful. Like, nothing's wrong with her. You know, it's everybody surrounding her. And I've always kind of stuck up for Jessica because I know that it must be hard entering a group of friends like that who
They're
are way too
assholes.
Old to be that
yeah.
trashy. They
yeah.
do screw each other over all the time. They are bad. But Mike is not only part of that, he is that. So for you to marry
yeah.
him and then try and make him, not only make him not like that, but then suddenly not hang out with his friends, like,
yeah.
she didn't start that with this Gigi incident. She wasn't letting him hang out with him for years.
Yeah, she knew what she was signing up for, and she now she's mad at the situation. It's like, well, I'm sorry, lady, you know, you knew what you're getting into, and you know, you can't, like, get involved with someone and then ask them to abandon their friends or ask them to change their friends, whatever. That's really not fair to do to someone, even if the friends are assholes. And even if Mike is a lowlife, you know what? You know what you get involved with. And, you know, and the thing is, she's probably the type that when she makes him breakfast in the morning, she's like, see, aren't I a good girlfriend? See, did you like that? See, I always make you breakfast. Aren't I so great? See?
Yeah.
She's, like, constantly probably, like, proving herself to him in a sense that, like, he now probably feels indebted to her in certain ways. He probably feels like
or
she truly is the best.
Or whenever there's a fight, she's immediately like, I made you eggs!
Yeah, she's like evidence. She's like building evidence at all times. She's building a case for herself. And it's totally manipulative.
Well, she showed up at this dinner. She got, I don't know what that restaurant was, but those martinis are gigantic. So I would love a lunch there. But she gets this martini. She's drinking it. She's being like a bitch the whole time. Also walks in, is like, hey, trying to talk about her ring, and she's just getting pure eyes from Mike and Jessica.
Yeah.
And then MJ comes in and makes an effort, and MJ at least says, you know, what's the deal with me just seeing this now, and how come I haven't seen it? And Jessica just starts laying into them. She's like, first of all, I don't give a fuck about any of you guys. And second of all, you know, you did that to us at this party and your friend Gonessa, and it humiliated me. Who do you think that hurt? Her? No, me. It hurt me. First of all, what hurt you is that your husband was, what should have hurt you is that your about to be husband was like trying to fuck somebody on a cast trip. And you can't trust him for shit.
Yeah.
What should bother you about that party is that your would-be husband is walking around talking about people's racks and their faces and who
yeah.
he fuck and who he's not. And probably who he did and who he didn't, let's face it.
Right.
I mean, girl, you're worried about the wrong things. And to be telling people, like, screaming and waving their finger in the face with your Frogger face that you don't give a fuck about them, you don't want to work anything out. Get the fuck out of here. Get
yeah.
your own spinoff, which is never going to happen, darling.
Darling, Chef Penny, cancel that sitcom right away.
They've already made Botched.
Throw out that tuna tartare. There will be no premiere party for Jessica's spinoff. But the thing is that, like, The thing is, at one point, Jessica mentions her word. I don't remember why, but she's...
She didn't mention it. Asa said, the reason I didn't tell you is because I gave my word. Do you understand? Like, I gave her my word. And she goes, I don't give a fuck if you gave a pinky swear. You swore on your mother's grave. And she said, but my word means a lot to me. Do you understand that? And she goes, oh, my word means everything to me, Jessica.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
Jessica.
Are you listening to
yourself?
And Asa
was like, well, so then maybe you can understand, basically, like... So if you understand how important your word is to you, why can't you understand how important my word is to me? And it's like, that's not the point!
Did you drive to the Best Buy and did you know that you were gonna call my husband a whore?
Blink, 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 blink.
It's like slurreal.
Blink, blink, blink.
I'll talk right when I can properly open my face again!
Did Mike not take Gigi to the Best Buy and try to have sex with her in the phone booth?
I love that no argument is even about what Mike did. It's just that they knew that Gigi... And look, she's right on that. They did know that Gigi was going to do that at that party. Everybody knew. We don't know Gigi, and we knew she was going to do it. And they should have given him a heads up.
Yeah.
But... they didn't. Get over it. It's not the biggest thing in the world. Be mad at your husband for sticking his hairy ass dick into everything, woman.
And then Reza basically is kind of essentially says, like, well, we have no allegiance to you. We don't see you at all. And you think I'm evil. And she's like, I never said that you're evil. If Mike said that, that's a lie. I don't think you're a good person, though. And he's like, oh, thanks.
Oh, really? So Mike's a liar now? I just thought the argument was that Mike wouldn't lie. Shut up, lady.
Yeah.
So Reza screamed at her, which was nice.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're just not going to be friends anymore. Because they're still fighting on Instagram. I mean, look, you're not even fighting on Twitter, darling. You're fighting in Instagram. Of course, this cast has to fight in pictures, you know.
Well, Jessica...
like, God forbid you use your words, people.
Well, Jessica has berated Mike so many times for making a drunken fool of himself and getting into fights. And that's exactly what she did. She was just like a shrieking... awful drunk girl, and you know, they may be assholes and they may be immature, but she revealed herself to be a spoiled brat, and
she's fucking awful.
She just needs to get over it. And then she starts up with Asa at the valet stand, like, I can't do it! I can't be
fine! I'm not doing it with her! I'm not doing it!
Like, Asa had walked away calmly. She's like, I'm not doing this! Like, no one's fighting with you, Tamara. What are you talking about? Yeah, you're just sitting there throwing a fit by yourself.
Did someone ask you to be mature? Is that what you're not doing? I don't know.
She's an idiot. Alright, so going backwards, MJ got some naked pictures taken for her man.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like...
I love you like help.
Yeah. Where our love is growing faster than weeds in the ocean.
Yeah.
He's like, wow.
Yeah. And I have a hard time looking at MJ's naked photo only because to me it looks like Vita. She's doing her lipstick like Vita does now, and it's just all I can see is just like naked Vita, and it's really unappetizing. Oof.
I can't watch it because her boobs are almost as big as mine now. It's getting disturbing. But I do like that she's doing this faux, like, try and win the fat lady audience by saying, oh, well, finally, I'm comfortable with my body. Bitch, you've been in a bikini for 3 years. You weren't uncomfortable then. Trust me.
Yeah, exactly. She's always having this, like, declaration of, like, loving her body.
Oh, she's going to come out with some book about eating kebabs in bed or something any day now.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be like, how to keep your figure. Ladies, am I right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, good for her.
It's a dietary cookbook, except it doesn't give any advice on how to lose weight. It's like, okay, if you want to gain weight, I recommend 3 Boston cream pies every morning.
She's like, chapter 1, the Baconator. If you want to turn your man on in bed, smell like bacon.
Chocolate croissants and sliders.
She was cute. I'm pretty much liking her so far.
Yeah, of course. I love MJ. She's funny. She's got a nice little boyfriend.
What else happened on that? So Gigi, the other big story was that Gigi went and got a new lie detector because she demands decent customer service.
Justice needs to be served.
And I love that this other guy's like, well, this machine's totally different because it's computerized. And we all know how great computers are since ours just crashed and took away a fucking hour of our life.
Yeah.
But, so she goes and she passes and she starts crying like it's the end of The Accused and Jodie Foster just like got a ribbon for something. They're like, congratulations, Jodie, you get to take home that pinball machine. She's like, thank you. So she's crying like she just made it to the end of a Lifetime movie. And it's like, listen, bitch, it's not that people didn't believe Mike tried to fuck you. Of course he did. Mike has tried to fuck everything. He's probably tried to fuck his family pet. Like, no one didn't believe that. It's that you brought it up at a party to try and ruin his relationship on purpose because
exactly.
you're jealous, you
exactly.
little whore. Like, that's the difference.
Yeah, if Gigi had simply, you know, approached Mike like a normal person, then this probably would not, none of this probably would have happened.
Yeah, she's an idiot. She didn't even care. I think it was all some Instagram thing she got mad about.
Yeah.
That's so dumb. Like, that's where the fights originate. That's why it's so hard to even talk about it sometimes. Because when you read the online stuff about it, you're like, oh, that's why they're fighting. Because of an Instagram post.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Who cares?
And then next year, they're going to be best friends again.
Yeah.
You know, just the way that Gigi and MJ are totally tight after a full season of them, like, screaming at each other.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, they're besties.
Well, too, because one season, it was Gigi... the first season was Gigi was a raging alcoholic, and the second season, MJ was a raging alcoholic,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much that.
And then Asa had a protest
at
the Las Vegas seafood buffet in
Hollywood.
She
did, like, a multicultural poor people version of nonsense in front of the Fresh and Easy.
Yeah, where she quoted Chaka Khan and was like, I'm every woman, I'm every woman. She's like... It was the most confusing protest of all because she's like, you know what, there's so much oppression, and the robe, you know, the robe represents oppression, but it's beautiful, and it's like, you know, now we're all one. The robe has unified us, but I just want to show it's your choice. So if you don't want to be part of womanhood and us being together as one big group, that's your choice.
What? Yeah, she's so... It's very interesting. It's like women rights are super important if you want them, and if you don't, you don't need them. No! Everybody needs them, okay? I like that Reza said ban that shit. Oh my god, look at that weird homeless person. What is he doing?
Oh yeah, now we're by Griffith Park.
Oh, he's doing like Marlon. He's got Marlon Brando from what's that?
He's like
Planet of the.
It's like a mime on top, and he's wearing black Speedos and nothing else, sitting cross-legged, and
just shaking
his
head
going left, like shaking.
But it's like he's meditating. But he's just meditating. No, don't focus on no, darling. Focus on yes.
Pandy, go report on this.
You're shaking no. Why would I give you a dollar, darling?
Get Claudia Jordan. She's a great journalist. Let's have a breaking story on the divine addiction.
Bruce Jenner being interviewed by Claudia Jordan.
So, Bruce,
do you like comedy?
So, like, why didn't you stay in therapy, Bruce?
Thought you were all doing well. Bruce, you still have edges. Go, girl. So, okay. So, Asa's thing was terrible, and she's made art and put it on the internet. So, let's see if it went viral. I didn't check, but I wanted to see if that video actually did go viral.
Probably not, because it was so incoherent on its own.
It's not like having sex with a cast member of your show, okay? Things don't instantly go viral, Tony.
Darling... Even though you went from a Buffalo Wild Wings, it still did not go viral, I'm sorry to say. Next time, do it from
Benigan's.
Well,
with all that Fresh and Easy promoting.
Darling,
probably saw that and was like, fuck women's rights, let's get a Fresh and Easy.
Here. Darling, if you want your video to take off, you do it in front of a Waba Grill. Everyone knows that.
Alright, so that was pretty much that in a nutshell. Alright, let's get to, since we're center
Southern
of Hollywood now.
Southern
we're almost
charm.
Home. Let's Southern charm it really quick.
Let's Southern charm it. So the episode began with Shep ironing his shirt on a sideboard, which I really loved. But what's so funny to me is that Shep can iron a shirt on a sideboard, but if it was Craig, we'd all be like, well, he is an alcoholic.
Oh my god, what a mess.
But the difference is that Shep has money and he can pretty much do whatever he wants, and he's like funny and friendly and smart. And Craig is an alcoholic and he's a mess. So if he does that, yeah, he is a mess.
Yeah, Craig doesn't know how to pronounce lapel. That's another thing we've
It's
learned.
A lapel.
How
it's a lapel.
Did you go to law school and you don't know how to pronounce lapel, dude? Come
well,
on.
Well, it's the same thing because Chef committed a fashion faux pas by wearing a navy blazer with black pants, which you would think would be the source of the ridicule. But then Craig is like, yeah, man, the pants have to match the lapel. And Shep's like, did you just say lapel? Did you say lapel? It's lapel, dude. It's lapel. He just said lapel. He had lapel. He doesn't know what lapel is, dude. He doesn't know what a lapel is, dude. And then everyone's like laughing at Craig. And it's just like, yeah, that's what happens when you're rich and attractive and everyone likes you. You can just pretty much deflect over your own fashion. You both did something like quote unquote wrong. But when you're rich and you're popular, no one cares about what you did wrong.
Another thing that happened, Patricia had an all-man dinner because she doesn't want to deal with female drama.
And quite frankly, I just don't have time for it. I'm not in the mood.
If no one else is going to wear a caftan with a white boa hot glued to it, there's nobody else to compete with.
I wanted to glue little miniature alligators onto the caftan, but they just would not stick. I can't tell you how many times I rang the bell for my butler with a glue gun, but nothing would work.
Women these days don't approve of meemaw food the way that boys do. Put a mac and cheese in front of any man and he'll love it.
I want Whitney to see no woman except for me.
Yeah, no kidding. Still has the claw bangs.
Whitney
if that bitch ever rang a bell, if anybody ever rings a bell for me, that's it. I'm gonna fucking murder them. Who does that?
I will allow Patricia to ring a bell, because I love Patricia on this show.
Love watching her, but I do not want to meet her, know her, or ever have anyone like her in my life.
Again, I said again, all right?
We decided that Patricia is Lucille Bluth, and Whitney is Michael, Lindsay, and Buster all rolled into one. He's codependent like Buster. He's got, like, some of Michael's brains, and he goes on useless money-wasting endeavors like Lindsay.
Yeah. Yeah, a bunch of lose in one man. Congratulations, Whit. So, the dinner was guys night, because Patricia just wants to hang out with guys.
Yeah.
And Cooper, of course, comes along, and he's like, you know what guys like to talk about at dinner? Tradition. Charleston history.
Charleston. Oh, back in 1690, when this was a relevant world city, and we had slaves on every corner.
Those were the days, weren't they, Ma?
When you didn't have to ring a bell, a slave would just appear because it knew.
You just had the slaves sleeping under the table. When slavery became illegal, we all had to buy bells so the white people would know it's time to come inside.
And there was no such thing as gay rights. We didn't like the gays back then.
Cooper's like, I don't even need gay rights now. Who needs them?
You would have tarred and feathered me, and I would have loved it because it was part of the tradition.
Part of the reason I'm upset that no one's bashed me for being gay yet is I've always wanted to be hung. It's one thing I've always wanted. God bless Cooper. Self-hating little faggito burrito. Would be a gay man? What self-respecting gay man would not only move to a town that probably hates gays and where he's never going to get gay rights, but then throws a founder's ball when he's not there because he can't get into the real one? Oh, yeah. That's just sad.
I think the great sub-story of this season has been Craig and Cooper's attempts to get into high society. Craig is from the Talented Mr. Ripley vein, and Cooper is just from... I don't know where Cooper is from.
I wish Craig was from the Talented Mr. Ripley vein. At least Talented Mr. Ripley tried to take on some of the qualities. Like, maybe he would start reading books or doing his work or making an effort.
Cooper is the Great Gatsby. You know, he's this guy who will never be part of high society, but he'll throw parties that'll make him feel like he's part of it. And Craig is just, like, trying to be like Shep, and he'll never understand why he just isn't.
Cooper was just so sad because he throws this huge ball because he can't be invited to the other one. Then he sends out invitations that are so homophobic that if any straight person ever sent that out, they'd be completely lit on fire, at least here. I don't know about there. But he sends invitations out that say, every lady must be accompanied by a gentleman. Yeah. What? How dare you?
And then they all throw some shade at him, like in the interviews. They're like, oh, well, you know, it's so funny because the whole point of a ball is if you're going to be announced, it's that way a lady can meet a man. But if we have a partner, then how are we going to meet a man?
Oh, so sad. And he's like, listen, this is a very classy event. No riffraff. Get all those leaves off the floor. And then what does he do? He puts on a fake British accent and announces the people as they come in by himself. Poor thing.
And Patricia's like, well...
He's like, Mr. and Mrs., the guy who works at the bank and his secretary.
And Patricia's like, well, he's not Truman Capote, and this isn't the black and white ball, but, you know, it's a start, which means it's not a start. Never try this again. It was terrible. There were dogs.
No, you know Patricia doesn't expect you when she shows up in one of her Mrs. Roper bathrobes. What the fuck are you doing? It's a formal event, lady.
Well, she knew it wasn't a real event.
She's like, I rang a bell and nobody came.
I had an alligator dress me today. And Whitney's like, I don't see the point of dancing. Like, who wants to exercise while they drink? Oh, shut up.
Oh, that poor girl. I'm really liking that Jennifer girl, though, that friend of.
Oh, yeah.
Who at first got in trouble for having sex with
Thomas or whatever. And now she's become a friend of Catherine's. And she's really nice and cute. And stupid Whitney was sitting there at the table. Yeah, and he's like, I just don't understand exercising while you're drinking. I don't get the point. She's like, well, I sure do. Sitting there all alone. No one's asking her to dance.
He's like, hey, you want to come to the Renob concert?
Oh, God. We're singing a song called Cuff. Guess what that means?
We forgot to talk about, by the way, Patricia's pet cemetery from last week.
Oh, the pet cemetery.
Oh, ashes from all around the world.
God, can you imagine how many dogs have died in that home?
Oh, gosh.
You know it's just a ton of them.
Just nothing but urns everywhere.
I want to do pet cemetery, but I don't want a baby to die at the beginning by getting hit by a semi-truck like that awful cretin Stephen King did it. I want it to be beautiful and meaningful.
Whitney's gonna do a documentary. It's gonna be called Ashes to Ashes in Search of a Pet Cemetery. He's gonna ask everyone in town where the pet cemetery is, and he's gonna come home to mama. Now I'm giving him a big hug and be like, it was here all along.
Really, the only reason I funded all these documentaries for Whitney is because I wanted people to know that he is a man who's ready to ask for directions.
I named my favorite parakeet Whitney, and the parakeet died, and he's at the cemetery, and Whitney's gonna dig him up. And it's gonna be an expose in the documentary, and everyone's gonna be shocked to find out that the parakeet was actually a cockatiel.
Oh, Whitney's like, hello, mother. Hello, darling. It's all the guys tonight, huh? Yes, darling. I was just masturbating to porn. I get it, darling, you're young.
But I love how, band. Like, the big fight of the episode was Thomas being... Whitney being like, I think you should have used those ads. They were great. And Thomas is like, the Washington Post has made fun of me. My numbers went down. Eight numbers. He's like, well, all these people are talking about it. He's like, no, my numbers went down. That's $150,000 down the drain. And then basically Patricia's like, let's go to the drawing room. And then it was over.
Well, I love that that whole fight was so funny to me because Whitney's so full of shit. He's like, that got you so much attention. Seattle Times, New York Times, Los Angeles Times. All negative. Like, yeah. Duh, it's not... All attention is not good attention in politics, you dumb. Jesus. Also, my big question is, like, how would you vote for Thomas? Thomas is so fucking moronic. Okay, this is how stupid this guy is. How far away is the election? Like, 20 days or something, I think they said?
Yeah.
Do they not have polling? Because that guy got 4% of the vote, right?
Yeah, his numbers were down to 8%, and he's...
He got, like, 4% of the vote, you guys. That's not even close.
He should not be filming on a reality show. He needs to be, like, getting out there.
Girl, don't be spending money on ads.
He spent... Excuse me, it said... I guess he implied that he spent upwards of $1 million.
Oh, God. Do you know how many Catherines that could have bought?
Oh, darling. Oh, my God. Catherine. Meanwhile, Catherine...
You could have switched her out by now, darling.
Catherine continues to be really upset about
the entire situation. I thought hepatitis C wasn't curable. Isn't hepatitis C the one that you can't cure?
Ronnie's talking about a billboard in case he wasn't making a reference to Catherine.
And what an awkward bus bench to have to sit on. Like, were you guys out of the fucking next Pixar cartoon billboard? Like,
where's the Hot Pursuit bus shelter?
When you're sitting in the middle of that, it just says Hep C and then you.
Yeah.
And then you pass Marilyn on a fucking thing, of course.
Marilyn
Monroe. Long live Marilyn in heaven, darling.
Chef Penny, we're gonna have a Marilyn Monroe.
Chef Penny, all right. Try and get Marilyn in here for the opening, darling. I want a real celebrity, all right?
I like how we, at this point, we assign Chef Penny every task. Chef Penny, I need a new shoe. Quick, get the car.
Oh, thank God they're remaking Poltergeist. That's what we needed. Chef Penny. Look, it's Jessica. It looks like Jessica. Yeah. That scary clown
Chef
face.
Chef Penny, do not say Poltergeist. You have a fragile heart. So anyway,
you know what's good for your heart, darling? Butter and eggs. That's what we.
Chef Penny, there's a pigeon in the road. Get it. Get the pigeon out of the road, Chef Penny.
It's called squab. It's called squab. Get it, darling. Tie its feet. Throw it in the oven, darling. Low heat, darling.
Go, Chef Penny. Go.
Retain its juice.
Pandy, hold the net. Chef Penny, get the pigeon in the net.
Oh, Pandy ate it. Darling, Pandy, darling, you swallowed that pigeon. That could have fed a family.
Pandy, okay.
I mean, a poor
Pandy,
family.
Tell us about pigeon fashion. Put it on the Divine Addiction. What's in for pigeons? Can't say pigeon without saying in. Go. Pigeon fashion show right now. Pop. Right away.
Pigeons Chef are Penny. Really into pooping on shoulders, mummy. Good, darling. Press. Get it to press.
Darling.
Oh, my goodness. Darling, that guy was...
Call the Blue Jays.
Okay, if you're gonna be a drag queen, don't do it in Eddie Munster garb. Like, that's the weirdest drag queen I've ever seen. He's like, I'm gonna be Eddie Munster, but with boobs. And combat boots.
Darling, there's an ad up on that building that says, we're back pitches. Is that in reference to cricket? Is there going to be a cricket tournament on pitches? Darling.
We're back pitches.
Darling, we have to do the food for it. We have to cater it.
Aw. I'm sorry, I'm not giving money to a perfectly healthy, good-looking white man. Get out of here, you privileged motherfucker. Get a job.
There's a homeless person walking by our car. So anyway...
Yeah, a hot white guy. Only in L.A. is there a hot 25-year-old white guy asking you for a dollar.
He was not
hot. Get
the
fuck out of here.
He made the
people practically hand you money. Shut up.
So anyway, we were talking about Catherine on Southern Charm.
Oh,
so,
sorry.
I loved how... So Catherine was mad because Thomas went to the... he went to the Founders Ball early to make sure he could talk to people and get his face and whatever. And Thomas did make a point. He said, you know, when you're campaigning, you can't like waste time. You have to be out there getting FaceTime with every single person. So then Catherine's like, well, he's paying attention to everyone except the one person who matters. It's like, oh, Catherine, if you think you matter,
oh honey, because he paid so much attention to you before you trapped him.
Yeah,
I mean. He didn't give her any attention. He got drunk and fucked her one night. And now she's like, why isn't he paying attention to me? I don't know. He showed you so much respect before. That's just crazy. I love when it cuts to Thomas and he goes, well, you know, I think she wants me to marry her. I'm like, ugh. She just gave herself stretch marks in the year of obesity. Of course she wants you to marry her, you moron. What do you think she's doing?
Oh,
he's like,
God.
But, you know. Politics come first. Actually, you should have married her for politics. This is how bad you are at politics.
Yeah, it's true. And she's also bad at... She's like, I want to be there to support him. Well, if you want to support him, you have to slap on a smiley face and pretend nothing's wrong. Don't you know anything about being a politician's wife?
No. She's, you know, she has an excuse in a way because she's young and stupid. He does not.
Yeah,
he's just getting so much worse. And she's sitting there whining, trying to play games with him. Like, I'm not mad. Oh, really? You think I'm mad? Where would I be mad? You think he hasn't played those games with, like, oh my god, that's like a thin non-in-jail Apollo up there. That guy's hot.
I still...
That guy's hot, right?
Yeah. I still would have voted for Thomas.
I wouldn't.
The system is so broke, I think, why not put someone like Thomas in there? I mean, they're all... Listen,
well, at least
they're all
know.
Doing... They're all messed up. And I mean, there was just another senator or congressman or whoever, politician, caught on Grindr just yesterday sending his dick pic after he just, you know, after he has, like, initiated anti-gay legislation, so...
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I'd rather have someone like Thomas or Avenel, whose shitty things and shitty judgments out there, at least, like, shitty judgment in terms of dealing with people, but, you know, at least he's... I don't know. Don't get me started. Don't even get me started.
Yeah, I think it's all bullshit. I just stopped paying attention to it. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
We are now approaching Runyon Canyon, which means that we should be hopefully seeing some shirtless gentlemen.
Thank God.
Which
we're
we
about
deserve
to be
to
some good looking people.
After
it's like there's two blocks in this neighborhood.
I know. After spending 3 hours with the Glendale Galleria crew, we deserve to see some
shirtless.
Yeah,
after that Glendale Galleria, I need a parade of hot men to shower me with their ignoring. I need to be showered by non-attention from hot people.
It's 93 degrees out. Like,
fucking ugly people staring at me. No, I need...
This is the prime area.
Hot people ignoring me, darling.
This is the prime area because what happens is... Because this is my area. Hot shirtless guys go to the gyms. They come down Hull Boulevard right here. Or then they leave the gym, so they go up that way, and then they go up and down towards Runyon Canyon. Darling,
and this is where us overweight people are like, thank God it's over. There's like a pizza place right at the end.
Darling, get some Italian ices out for the hot people. They need to be cooled down. Max!
Max, darling, bring some more water, all right?
Max,
Pandy's
bring
thirsty.
A water jar. Pandy, get a juicy juice for your sister.
Max,
get a
darling,
Capri Sun.
I'm so sorry that the gluten-free revolution has killed your job, darling. No one's asking for bread anymore. Actually, you know, I asked for bread when I went to pump. They looked at me like I was the fattest thing they've ever seen. They were horrified. And then they brought me out sandwich bread. Like, that they had toast, like a pumpernickel swirl of sandwich bread. It was so awkward on this little side plate with, like, a little pat of butter. And he's like, will this do? I was like, oh, really? Come on.
Seriously?
Look around
Seriously?
Here. It's all of Oklahoma
darling,
in here. I know I'm not the only person asking for gluten, bitch.
Darling, I'm so sorry. This is the only bread. We only serve pumpernickel at pump. And if I open up a restaurant called Wheat, then we'll serve wheat. But that's it. If you want a Kaiser roll, you have to go to my other restaurant called Pie.
When I want to do an all-protein restaurant, I'll call it Death Breath, darling, all right? Everyone who eats here will have Death Breath burst. But have you ever done the all-protein diet? Oh my god.
I've never been able to cut carbs out 100%.
That's like the kill room of a animal shelter in your
it
stomach.
It's a little stinky.
It's disgusting.
Stinky.
So are we done with all this?
I think so.
You guys, you are such good you're such a good audience. We did the first part of this in a mall where it was noisy. We did the second part in a car.
Yeah, and if things didn't make sense because we're noticing things on the side of the street, we're sorry. But just try to put together the pieces as we talk.
Yeah, we just wanted to at least finish this damn podcast for the day. We have officially talked for 4.5 hours.
Darling, we're right under MJ's apartment. Look, maybe let's stand outside the door.
MJ, darling.
There's a white Mercedes parked across from MJ, so maybe...
Oh, God, yes. Probably... Oh, God. Oh, yeah, those are total armies.
Darling, why won't this open up?
They're in the Armenian army, darling. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Thanks so much for listening. Bye. How do I stop this? Oh, my God. Is it going to take my fingerprint again?
Darling, stop it.
All right, darling. Bye.
If you like listening to comedy... try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.